prepare for black alert. This is not a drill. Repeat, this is not a drill. Spore drive is online.
Welcome to the Black Alert Podcast, your melanated reference for all things Star Trek across four quadrants. Today, the British crew.
What's up?
Hey.
We're going to be talking about hair in the Star Trek universe. So, hair. What does hair mean to you guys when it comes to Star Trek?
I'll go first. Not just in regards to Star Trek, but in general, like, hair is an expression of self, an expression of your heritage, an expression of your interests and feelings and beings. It is your crowning glory. Hair is a lot of things for people, but for me, I think the root of it is personal expression. Personal expression and heritage. That's what hair is to me, not just in Star Trek, but in general.
Yeah, so hair. It's journey. You know, a lot of us deal with different hairstyles and different textures. It is, to me, it's an identity. It really shows off who you are as a person. It's the first thing most people see when they encounter you. And first thing, the last thing people talk about it late at night too. So I think it's a very important thing, and I'm excited to talk about it today.
I feel like hair is a marker for the different eras of, you know, your life. And I mean, in this case, we're talking about Star Trek. It's a marker for different eras of Star Trek. But I mean, in your life, you know, as a man, you know, holding on to your hair is something that a lot of us struggle with, some of us more than others. And
oh, really? You don't say.
I do say. I mean, I lost mine. Mine started abandoning me when I was about 24, 25. And I got rid of it after I got married. Because I looked at my wedding pictures and I had like this big patch in the back of my head. And knew that I didn't want that, you know, moving forward. And that was like a demarker right there. Single life, married life was demarked by hair. And, you know, right now, and then later on, I grew a beard, as a lot of you know. And then
it's gone.
And now it's gone. And I got rid of it because of COVID and wearing masks and all that stuff. And hopefully,
19 years, it's gone.
Once the vaccinations hit, you know, I'll get my beard back, and we'll all be happy. So it'll be a demarcation in eras again.
God help us this episode. You help us.
Y'all can't get past that beard.
No, we are going to joke about it for a long time. You should
this get entire used to it. This entire episode. Oh, cool. For those who are not in on the joke, his face is as bare as a baby's ass right now. So, ask him to post that photo on Twitter. So you can get all that. And understand why we cannot keep it together at all. For me, hair has confidence and growth, self-love for me. When it translates to Star Trek in the screen, it was the issue of never seeing someone with hair like mine. Therefore, I probably didn't see me. Same thing with body type. If you don't see someone with a body type like yours, you question, does it exist? Like, what happened to the hair? That was my question. Star Trek, up to Star Trek Discovery, it was like, okay, so what happened to hair? Does everybody just roll into the hollow queue and be like, hey, give me that flat iron press? Because we all know how our hair grow. And then seeing it placed on other aliens is a issue in all of itself. Like, my hair grows like this, and then you place it on an alien. Okay. So, let's get into it. Watching Star Trek Discovery, I would see Obo's hair, and I would love it, and I would think it's beautiful, but it wasn't until I saw Michael Burnham with those back-length braids that I was like, oh, it still goes down in the future. Like, somebody's still sitting 8 hours for those braids. So, and that's a whole nother issue, because being black, raised where I am in America, those box braids meant everything for me. Even though I have a full blocks down my ass, those box braids was like, oh yeah, I can definitely be this Starfleet captain, this Starfleet commander that I always cosplay.
I'm going to tell you right now, like, in the 32nd century, nobody is sitting 8 hours for braids. Them dot 23s in the barbershop, braid them. Those things go fast, okay? I know nobody is still sitting. If we are still sitting for 8, 10, 15, 16 hours for braids in the 32nd century, something is wrong, and I don't want it. I know somebody has invented some kind of fancy braiding robot to fix that. I knew it. I absolutely know it. I don't know, something I had to add.
Because what we had with that little plaited up machine that you pull down, that you put your bow rat at thing in, I'm not for that.
Well, we all know that it's not just the process of getting the hair. It's the, you got to talk, you got to gossip, you know, about family, you're talking about what's going on with work, you're talking about the latest cultural trends, you know, are you sure you want this hairstyle when you roll up in there, because you might see somebody leaving and they fresh pressed and you like, oh, I changed my mind, I want her look. But I will say this, yes, them braids, when I first saw the pictures and the promos for season 3 for Disco, I was all about the braids. Absolutely love them. Yes, yes, yes.
Those are fire. I mean, look, to see one, the intricacy of her braids was one thing. You know, the design is something that I think we all, or most of us, understand. You know, you do your Google search now, and you're like, what style do I want? And you know, how does that impact your look? Like, you're going to wear these braids for at least
3 months.
At least.
3 months, yeah.
At three least. Months. So, you know, you're like, I got to get my outfit together. My hair's got to match. Like, it's got to, you know, it's going to be my feeling for the next 3 months. And, you know, taking them out, that is not the option right now. We want to keep them in. So, to see the beauty in her hair and the maintenance that it takes. Obviously, in the 32nd century, it's going to be a lot different, hopefully. But it's something that brings me joy, being someone who's had different hairstyles throughout her life. I've had Dre shortcut. I had the Caesar with the waves when I was a kid. Yeah, I'll show you those photos later, y'all. I had a Caesar. I had the long, very long down my back hair. When I was younger, I had the creamy crack. I had the hot comb. And now I've been natural for about 5 years. I finally got away from that, and I love my coils. So it's just to see the evolution of her look. She went from the Vulcan look to the
That's flat iron right there.
That was, burnt. To now this natural,
a whole new hair. That's why she went right? I'm sorry.
she was dealing with a lot. You know, it was stress. But now she just got to put it up and do her thing.
Do you think we'll ever find out who did those braids? Because that, I mean, those were intricate. Those are beautiful braids. And clearly she wasn't sitting there doing those herself. Okay.
I have a theory. Okay. My first issue before we got to the braids, because let's acknowledge that those braids are a wig and it is a lace front and it is beautiful. So whoever did that installation,
very good work.
More power to you. That she bought that, that was there in during a Remy. My thoughts is that Book did her braids.
Hey, I like that.
There's something very intimate about a male, your significant other, your partner doing your hair. If you ever want to grow a bond, that is how, that is something. You know, I remember when the pandemic first started and we had that Mad Max moment with our hairs and I shaved off the whole side. I set him down. I gave him a clipper. So I was like, okay, you're cutting my hair. And he get that was an intimate thing that I'm allowing him to touch my hair and fade me up and, you know, make sure it was smooth and I was ready for whatever may come. So I would like to believe Book did her braids.
I like that.
Travis?
I don't have anything to say about that. I like that. That's I hope that's the case now. That's my headcanon until it's not.
That's my headcanon. When we talk about Michael and all the hairstyles she went through, when we first get introduced to her, when she becomes, when she gets locked up and now all of a sudden she natural.
Real natural.
Ain't nobody braiding hair in jail. But that's a whole nother issue.
Yeah, she had that little...
And I felt some type of way about her. Oh, you go to jail and you become natural and now you look like a ruffian? Because you've done some time? And then they went with the very bad jail. Somebody get that hairstyle, some eco-styler. Where they smush down the sides and let the front hulk. And clearly, they used the wrong gel and did not put tie downs on that. Because, ooh, we.
It was when you walk out and, you know, and you got this brand new do, and then all of a sudden some water hits your head.
And yeah.
And that's exactly how it looked.
And it waved and it puffed.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
The evolution of Michael's hair, since this is where we're going, like I have been in the midst of rewatching Discovery for like the fourth time this month, and watching Sonequa Martin-Green's wig from season one through season two and season three, especially in season three when they go to the Mirror Universe and they give her back her season one hair, that wig, like that style, went through it, okay? Like that first episode where she's the mutineer and the eco styler is bad and the top looks dry and crunchy is bad. It's not good. And like you just look at it and I'm like, do I hate this style or is it just poorly done? Because I can see people pull it off a lot better. I've seen people do it and this was just not done very well. And it took me a while to come to grips. It's like, I don't hate this style. It's just poorly done. Because in season three, when they go to the Mirror Universe and we see that hairstyle again, somebody took some notes. Stuff is smoothed down. It's a much better wig. It's smoothed better with the right Eco Styler gel. The coils are a little bit looser. It's more believable as an actual hairstyle as opposed to just looking like a really bad wig that somebody didn't know what they were doing on it. There was progress in that hairstyle. And then I'm over here thinking, hey, you know, maybe I'll just cut my hair like that. I see how it looked good, you know. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I can see that. Then she transitioned to that style where it looked like the style said, let me bump your ends real quick. Woo! And you have the little swoop in the front with a few pieces. And they could have left that straight. Ladies, if your stylist is still saying, let me bump them ends real quick, move on. Travis.
Mm-mm.
You not in that?
No, my hand should have been down for that.
Travis has no further comment.
No, easily.
Dre?
I think it was pretty cool in season three, where we see it in end of episode two, Michael pops up on the screen and it's like Saru sees her and he's like, Michael, you look different. So I thought that was a cool little moment where they acknowledged, yes, she has a whole different hairstyle. It's what we've been showing you people in most of the promo photos, because in a lot of it, we see them braids though. So I thought that was a cool little moment where it's like, yes, Michael has new hair, everyone.
With those braids, that wig had versatility. She didn't swoop the bang to the loose at the end. Then it was straight back and just dropped down her back. And then in that final scene, they're about breast length and she's just ready. I want to know who did that wig.
When it comes to like the wigs, I just want to just give a little small shout out mention in season three, episode two, when she has that small montage and she's just waiting and she got the communicator and you see her go through like three hairstyles in about a minute. And I remember watching that, be like, hey, can we get an episode with that hairstyle? An episode with that hairstyle? No, an episode with this hair. Oh, we're to the promo one now. I just thought it was really nice to feature a barrage of hairstyles in that short period of time. I wish I could have seen more of them because those wigs look kind of nice, but you know, like I liked to see the evolution of the hairstyle over that period of time. Like to show it's not just time passing. Usually when they do that, you see, you know, the seasons are changing and it's the outside, you go, you know, winter, summer, spring, fall, you see the weather change. But for Michael, you saw her go through several different hairstyles. And even though it was only a minute, I think it was really interesting that they used her hair to show the passage of time.
Did anyone notice that the braids got shorter as she got closer to the chair? In that last scene where she sits down in the seat, the hair is definitely shorter. I like it. But the braids got a little bit shorter. And I was kind of felt some type of way like that. Like you can't be a captain with braids down to your ass. I feel a little discrepancy there.
Yeah, maybe it's a, I don't know, like a tactical thing. Like maybe, I don't know. It's that she can't get into the space fights with her hair long. Like they grabbed her boot. So now she's like, I can't have anything dangling off of me.
You know, when black people fight.
Use the hair as a weapon.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's true. But, you know, when you sit in that chair, you don't want to get stuck on the back. You know, like one little follicle gets stuck and it's, oh. You know, it's
that's
a problem.
Also a very good point.
I experienced that with my locks.
It's still versatile. She could still, you know, wrap it up real quick and, you know, hit somebody with it.
Now, look, wrapping it up, that's fight mode activated right there. It's like,
exactly.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Something you see about a ponytail happen. It's either very good or very bad.
Yep.
Okay. So, with Discovery, we see a lot of good hair, like somebody spent some time in somebody's chair, whether it be the Dot 23s. So let's go with Bryce and the fade that fades everybody.
I'm going to step in here. That's a good fade. That's a good fade. I want to know who's lining him up on the daily basis, because there every episode he comes out on his braid. I mean, his beard is on point. His hair is perfectly lined up. That dude is hooked up, and somebody's got to be doing that. And that can't be him.
Oh, but what if it is though? What if it is though?
Now he cutting everybody's
like,
hair.
What if he's coming in? Like, what if he's doing that in the morning before coming to set? What if it is though?
I'm impressed. I would be impressed.
Like
that
wouldn't be the first time, and I don't know like how many of you guys or how many people that are listening have followed the controversy when it comes to people of color getting the proper hair care they need when they go to sets for movies and TV, but a lot of the time there is not somebody there that can do hair for black people. They just don't have people there. The hairstylists there are just not equipped. They don't have the training. So a lot of them come in, a lot of the actors, they come in with their hair already done, whether it is that they've done it themselves or they've gone to their preferred stylist of choice to get that all set up before they have to go to work. So I would not be surprised if it is him himself doing them fresh lineups before, and I'm still very impressed at that. But also, that is the kind of thing that needs to change.
Yeah. When we go back to the Mirrorverse, even in the Mirrorverse, Lieutenant Bryce's, what is that called? The Kinect, the chin strap, it was faded in nice. Mm-hmm. It was clean. The skin was nice and succulent. He looked like he got the tile and razor action. It was good.
Well, in the Mirror Universe, they use the blades a lot. So I figure everybody probably has a little bit of skill.
In the Mirror Universe, everybody gets that fresh straight razor cut. You know, that good cut, that the straight razor that you don't hardly do. But I'm sure that's what happens in the Mirror Universe because they're all about knives.
Well, I mean, that standard now, when you go to the barber pre-COVID, you know, your barber, he put that chair back, man. I already knew what was happening. It's a little straight, and it's just so crisp, so fresh, so, you know.
So fresh and so clean.
Lieutenant Bryce edges everybody up. You know, Paul goes by and he be like, yeah, let me get the back of the neck for you.
Hold on, bro. Yeah, let me. There you go. You good now. You good.
Lieutenant Bryce is now the official barb on Discovery. That's why everybody looking clean. And again, look at Book. Book came to the season clean.
Well, yeah. Who does Books? I mean, that's an episode I want to see. I think I'm writing fan fiction right now, but I feel like Grudge. Book has, there's like a planet. It might even be the planet from Code of Honor where Book and takes like all, like when all the black people from Discovery showed up, like he got them all on a ship and he's like, no, I got to hook you up, and took them to that planet. And there's like a shop. There's a shop that he knows and they just hook it up. Somebody sells DVDs in there.
This is a shop. Lady from next door comes in with the fried fish, asks anybody if they want to eat because you've been sitting in the chair all day.
Man, fried chicken sandwiches.
Instead and of jet, they got warp.
Oh, okay. Oh,
there we go. There we go.
Okay.
Warp.
Okay. With hair changing in Discovery, another lovely hair change that I saw was the woman we call Killy, Mira Wiseman's hair throughout Discovery, has improved exponentially. And I wonder, does she just do her ponytail herself? She, like, don't touch me anymore.
Oh, yeah. My girl Killy has definitely, them curls. I mean, look, I love gingers. And her hair is beautiful. It is thick. And I can tell, do not brush that stuff out. It's going to be a big old poof. Just let her do her own thing with her, you know, with her gel or whatever, you know, stuff that she uses to keep it nice and flowy, you know, nice and curly. But Mirror Universe, Taryn, now that's the bang is.
Oh, here we go.
That bang is that web.
She got that beehive with the swoop. Can't mess with her. She's,
I mean, the swoop looks like she just put a whole lot of Let's Jam.
Not the jam.
Just slicked it down. Let's Jam. For those who don't know, Let's Jam is a black hair product. And look, I used it when I was a kid. It keeps you laid all day. Stuff.
When you talking about Tilly, she started off with that slick back, went to that
the journey that side of
ponytail, the eventual ponytail, the curly ponytail, just went from the back of her head and went higher.
Yeah, like, yeah. Like when Tilly's character first started, like when we first meet her, she has. Mary Wiseman, I am so sorry that they made you do this. Your poor hair, your scalp, your edges, I am so sorry. But they had Tilly's hair all the way pulled back so tight into this tight, tight, tight bun. And it was not good. And it took them a while to figure out what exactly they should be doing with Mary Wiseman's hair. And I hope she just at one point just said, look, we're going to do this. And that's the way it's going to be, because I can't take the foolishness y'all are doing with my hair no more. No more.
Humidity looked at her, she was a poof.
It was rough.
You know, her curls, you know, I've done that. You know, my youngest daughter has curls like that, and I know it's not easy to you know, put that everything from the slick back to the single ponytail she's got. I know it's not easy. I've seen my youngest struggle with it. But the Killy look, that's I don't want to disrespect Noah because he's been on our show, but yikes, that's I like Killy. I like that.
Like, you know, that was the good one with the flat iron that goes in the oven. Respectfully, we are all looking respectfully, Noah.
Respectfully, Noah.
I'm gonna just stay silent.
Dre may
but
not be looking.
I feel like the Killy Tilly progression of hair seasons 1 through 4, because they're filming 4, is kind of harkens back to the Janeway Bun of Steel. Or we started with this, oh gosh, this bun, and then went to the half bun, the French roll, the ponytail, to, I feel like she just said, okay, that's enough, I'm cutting it. Hairstyle, stop touching me. So, transition with women and hair, and why do they always want the hair up?
I think that may come from the fact that Starfleet is supposed to be a pseudo military institution, and military guidelines dictate that your hair has to be, you know, up and back and off your shoulders or whatever the regulations are. So for women, it's always got to be tied back, tied down, under control, as it were. But that just doesn't, forgive the euphemism, it doesn't really fly for me personally.
Shout out to Janeway for getting those pins back in after her ship got hit and still having laid hair.
Fun fact. Not Kate Mulgrew's choice. She did not have a choice in the matter in terms of hair. An executive producer for Voyager, who I will not name, he decided he wanted that look for Janeway because he believed that women over a certain age didn't really have sex appeal. So he made the executive decision to go with the Bun of Steel, because in real life, Kate Mulgrew actually had shorter hair. There are photos out there from when they first call her to be the new Janeway. And I'm like, why didn't y'all just rock with her actual hair from season one? Because that was all, like, you know, just some weird updo type deal with, like, extensions attached on. And, you know, we see her go through this from seasons one all the way midway through season 4, when I'm pretty sure Kate was like, forget it, just let me have my regular hair. So that's what we saw. And it was absolutely horrible because it aged her unnecessarily. And it's not as if Kate Mulgrew is a terrible looking woman, because she's not, in my opinion. So, yeah. Lord, so Kate, I'm just Mulgrew, like, why did you take away from her look? Why you take away from her look and age her up?
She's got the all natural look, which was, you know, in the pilot, the real shoulder length hair. Then we went to the Bun of Steel, which looked like nobody could take down. Then we got the French twist, which, you know, you had to add a little oof to there. You had to add some extra hair in there, a whole bunch of bobby pins. You got the shoulder warmer, you know, sit there and just keep your neck warm. And then she's got this, there was one that was like a twisty ponytail with a big old clip in the back.
The topsy tail. The topsy tail.
Yeah. With all the coils in the back. That was nonsense. Yep.
And then you got the short look, obviously, the year of hell. And then she's got the straight shoulder warmer, which is like a little bit, it didn't have a little bump on the bottom right before.
Oh, yeah.
But it was,
they hit those straight. In. They bumped those in.
Yeah.
Tell them to stop.
Those were some good looks and some bad looks.
She went through a hell of a hair evolution too, boy. And not all of it was great.
Not all of it was great, but I did appreciate the scenes where they let her hair down. So I always picture, you know, her looking out at the sky and the pink number, and I was like, oh, I see it.
I know what episode that is. That's the controversial Tuvix episode, because she gets that visit from Kes, and the hair is down, and it's red, and that was Kate Mulgrew in all her natural glory, because she grew her hair out, and I'm just like, oh, Captain Janeway, hello.
I was as much as you know, exploring Janeway is good. My concern was you know, Tuvok and that thing on his head.
Oh, no.
I didn't understand what was going on with Tuvok. I mean, clearly there was no Bryce on Voyager to shape everybody up, because my man had was just flat. I mean. I guess they were trying. I was like the Black Vulcan thing. They were trying to make him look Spockish, but come on, man, come on.
Bro, it was just one whole. It was just like one big arc.
Circle.
Yeah, his hair had a character
arc. With sideburns.
They did him like they did Zach on Power Rangers. It was terrible.
Yes.
I was alive during that period. I was in my 20s at that period, and I don't recall anybody having that gut ever.
No. I'm just like, yeah, it was bad for Tuvok, and I feel bad for Tim Russ.
I don't feel a Black barber would have let him go out like that.
He wouldn't have. We already know.
The unpicked fro with the half moon hairline. Like, we get receding hairline, but that's worse than LeBron James.
I see. I didn't watch Voyager that much, but were there other Black characters like in the background, like Black Maquis or Starfleet folk? Because I feel
every
like
every grade once in a while you would see one or two.
Not really, but
nobody was
not
faded.
That much.
Short amount of time.
No one was faded. Exactly. No one was really cut up, faded up. You know, yeah, Tim was the only one because he had some kind of wig deal, which Tim, even to this day, has hair. Like,
yeah,
he has hair. I'm like, y'all could have just rocked with this man's natural hair.
Y'all what let was the man reason? Walk out with a five head.
We don't know. We don't know the reason.
Jefferson five head.
Oof. George Jefferson.
Five head.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't know the reason, except for go back again, the same executive producer making calls on Janeway's hair.
Hair did somewhat improve on DS9.
Oh, DS9. Yes.
DS9 hair, I truly appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Because I saw a Black man shave his head and was ready. And wanted all the smoke. Along with that, we got better alien hair.
Sisko, when he shaved his head, that's what I'm talking about how you demark eras. Like, DS9 was all right the first couple seasons. Sisko, when he came on season 3 with his head shaved, I was like, I think it was like season 3 and a half, like middle of the season. I was like, yeah, this show is different. This show is ready to allow him to be him. And I think that was when I was in college, and that's when I shaved my head the first time. I was like, if Sisko can do it, I'm gonna do it. And I shaved my head, grew my goatee, and I was like, I'm Ben Sisko.
Oh.
I wasn't Ben Sisko, but I was Ben Sisko.
When it comes to DS9, I just want to, like, small point out one thing, one person who stuck out to me while I was doing my homework for this episode. Chief O'Brien, Colm Meaney, he must have said, look, y'all ain't touching my hair. My hair is my hair, and this is what it is. And Colm Meaney just rocked his hair the way it was. Like, from the day he started to the day he finished, he had his little curly hair, and I appreciate him for that. And he was just like, this is my hair. Y'all gonna take it or leave it. Here it is. My hair.
I feel like a lot of the fair-skinned co-stars, they just came and sat. They woke up, rubbed their hair. They didn't put no gel in it, with the exception of Riker. They came on set and was like, this is what it is. comb overs and all.
Yeah, going back to Cisco and also Jake, which Jake morphed into Cisco. You see Ciroc Lofton now. He's got a bald head and a goatee, like every book's bald head and goatee. So it's like, oh, father and son, yay. But during that time, I don't know who was cutting Ciroc's hair, but again, he had a nice hairline and everything, the whole series. And I appreciate that. And you know, it's something to be said that I think men's hair, especially for Black men, is kind of overlooked a little bit. We kind of expect them to either have an afro, a fade, or be bald. So it was just one of those things. Seeing Book was actually pretty, and his haircut was actually pretty cool. And so, you know, I appreciate.
Did anybody look at Book and think Powerline?
No.
Okay.
I mean, if he had come through with the lines, with the cuts, you know the ones I'm talking about, the ones on the side, the ones right at the temple. If he had had cuts right there, that is where my mind would have gone. Now that you're saying that, I'm probably going to pull up a side-by-side later after we're done. But if he had come through and he had shown up with cuts, I would be like, you done put Powerline in space. This is the greatest show I've ever seen in my entire life.
And shout out to Ensign Mayweather. Let's not forget Enterprise, where we see Ensign Mayweather. You know, I loved his hair. Dude had waves. He did. He had waves the whole series. It wasn't the 360 with all his hair, because you know he had a pretty nice fade himself, but he had the 180 waves, and you don't have to look hard to see him if you know what they look like. So I love that. I was like, you got waves from the first episode to the last episode.
Well, Ensign Mayweather kept it tight the whole time. His arms. Dude was like, that was Mayweather was representing Travis's, is what I'm saying.
So that brings us to Worf's hair.
Oh boy, here we go.
Look, that first season wig that they have for TNG.
Somebody definitely bumped those ends. Woo, child.
They straightened and bumped those ends. He had a curl set on. They were so tight.
How do you do both? And why would you do it?
Who thought this is the good... You gave him, his eyebrows was longer than his hair. Why?
Okay. Worf's hair, he went on a journey. And that first hairstyle, I mean, I think we can all agree, that was not it. That was not the business. And I know a lot of it has to do with the fact that they were reimagining what Klingons look like, which is something that they apparently do once every decade or so. But that, like, because with Worf, if I was to think about it, I'm like, okay, you got him pressing out the hair and then bumping the ends. And then when you see Worf way in the future in DS9, he has these long, lustrous locks with the waves and is like, was Worf really sitting in his quarters perming his hair? Like, I don't see that as a thing that he would want to do. But why?
Well, he would perm the hair after he sharpened it.
You know, I hate to say this, but before these long, luxurious locks I have, I felt like Worf. You know how you have short hair that breaks off and won't grow? I don't know if anybody had this testimony.
We all had this testimony. Don't play.
And then your mom does your hair for picture day.
Ooh.
And the orange rollers. And them sponge rollers.
Not the sponge rollers.
And she takes it off and she combs it out. That's what the back of his head looked like.
So let me comb it out just a little bit. And then sprayed your hair with a whole can of holding spray just to make sure that you would make it to the camera.
It was bad. It was bad. His eyebrows and his mustache. And he didn't have a full mustache. So, he had little tentacles.
Worf's hair, like the hair on his head and his facial hair, went through it. And I'm very glad that they finally figured it out by the time he got to DS9. But that season one
the tail end of TNG is hard to watch. He kind of had it together before TNG wrapped up.
I'm not going to ride with that.
No.
Like, it took them, they were still working it out in the TNG movies they were. Like, they didn't have it solid till he hit DS9. That's what I think.
I don't know, I think...
Did they have braids at one point?
I
think in that first season, though, Worf kind of was just supposed to be a whack Klingon. Because they had the other Klingon show up eventually, and they had the long hair, like, looking like Klingons. And Worf is still running around with his little, like, pixie dude haircut. And, like, he's from the Prince... He looked like a Prince Valiant character. But what's it called? But I think he was supposed to compare to the other Klingons, because the other Klingons came on, like I said, looking hard. And I think Worf was just supposed to look like he would. You can't see this, but Marisha has just put up a season two Worf cutout, and his hair is not doing it. For anybody,
his hair doesn't touch the back of his neck.
But I think it's supposed to be because he was raised by humans, and they were trying to say that he couldn't carry the style. I think it was supposed to be part of his character.
It took them a while to figure out Worf's hair as an individual, like, for his character. And then on top of that, it took them a while to figure out, you know, a hair for the Klingons. What was that going to look like in that contrast there? But Worf's hair and facial hair, it went on a journey. It was a journey, okay?
I don't know how he pulled his baby mama, because her hair was on point. She had the Videl Sassoon.
Yeah, Kalar's hair. Whoo!
That was nice. Had the bump.
Well, I mean, Kalar in general, but you know.
Yeah, Kalar was all right.
That red suit. Yeah,
she was all right.
Didn't his hair actually get a little lighter? Like, once you get into DS9,
it did.
They lightened his hair.
That was from being with Kalar. I mean, she put that thing on him.
Did something to the man.
Yeah, it did something to the man. His hair grew out, his stash got right and everything. So, you know.
It's not a coincidence he pulled Deanna Troi soon afterwards either.
He really did. Hello. You
know? I mean, we can't say, like, Deanna.
I can't say that was spiteful. That was spiteful on Deanna's part, but we're not here to talk about that. But since we are talking about Deanna.
Her journey. Her hair journey.
I'm not even on her. Let's talk about her mama.
Daughter of the fifth house, holder of the sacred chalice of Rix, heir to the holy rings of Beta Zed.
Her wings were the standard. Like, I think all the hair budget went into her. Right?
It should be. She was the wife of Team
Roddenberry. I mean, if anybody was going to get all the hair budget, it was going to be Major Barrett Roddenberry. For real.
I mean, and Laid with the outfits, perfect matches. It was great.
Yeah.
It all synced up. But, I mean, she was a space diva. Let's be real. She was a space diva. So, you know, you look at Majelle as Nurse Chapel, and it's like, oh, look at you. You're nice. You're Nurse Chapel. But we see her again on TNG as Mama Troi. It's a whole new attitude. It's a whole new attitude. And
you even gotta
remember
when she was number one and she just had like the bangs and like the long cut. And then like to the shoulders.
Yep.
I mean, she, like you said, she went on a journey.
Yeah.
From number one to Lwaxana.
Yeah, because we see her in the movies as Dr. Chapel here and there, and it's still, again, Mama Troi was her best look. it just hands down. It was great. It was good stuff. And you know, we see her pop up like what, one or two episodes on DS9, and it's the same. It's like, here she is, fashionable Mama Troy yet again.
What I liked was how they experimented with her hair. Even though she was supposed to be a woman of a certain age, they kept her vitality and sexuality. You didn't know how her hair was going to come. It could be different colors. It could be up. It could be down. It could have a bird in it. It didn't matter. So I think that was a good on them to explore just how avant-garde they could take that.
Yeah, it was definitely 90s crazy hair. I said at some point. My favorite look though is that pink.
Yes, the bubblegum pink.
Yes, it was lit. And she had the pink outfit with the shoulder.
Yes.
Let's not talk about that. But yeah,
we got an episode.
We got an episode for that. And yeah, so it's definitely, she was definitely coordinated. She knew she was it. Yeah. If you go to, I think, Emissary, the first one or two, one and two, and there's another one that comes up. There it is. Marissa showing us her look.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going back and watching that.
But,
episode,
you know, I think her hair reflected how she was feeling, most definitely.
I think, and this is just coming back since we're talking about Luoxana, I think just go back to what hair means to a lot of people. There is, for a lot of people, a certain strength that comes from having your hair. And for Luoxana, I mean, we learn later on in DS9 that her hair, her presence, her outfits, it's all part of her armor and her persona. So when she reveals herself and she shows her vulnerability to Odo by removing her wig in front of him, that is a lot. And I mean, I know that the dudes that are listening to this may not get it, but if you are taking off your wig in front of a man you are interested in, it is a very, very serious thing. That is revealing yourself, opening yourself up, taking all your walls down, and just bearing yourself as you are. That was a very big point for me that I feel like a lot of people may have missed because they don't understand the significance of what having that and then removing that in front of somebody really was.
Yeah. Okay. So DS9 definitely had some great hair being served, whether it's from Ambassador Troy or Jadzia to Jadzia 2.0 with the short hair, which Jadzia went through a lot of hairstyles.
She had the pullback look.
She had the pullback. She had a bun of steel.
I think they gave her a topsy tail, a Janeway topsy tail for a little bit there. She had as well, I think, with the clip.
With the clip.
Same producer making decisions about female hair that he had no business making.
Well, let me just bring that back a little bit. I'm not saying nobody in the future is sexy because I think we all can say some things about Kira Nerys's hair.
Nerys, yeah.
She went through an evolution, too. She went through an evolution, too.
Yeah, as a woman and having short hair, we all agree. And, I mean, everybody knows Kira was the sexy one on the DS9. Everybody wanted Kira. And her having short hair in that, and even her evolution of styles with her short hairstyle, was something to watch. Like, Kira's hair in season one is not the same as Kira's hair at the end of the series. She goes through a lot. And even like with her mirror counterpart has, you know, a certain style about her with the hair and the foam piece in it that's all hooked up and golden and stuff in it. Like that even is a thing. And I mean, some people want to say it, but I think it's a very sexy style the whole time she had it. Like all the iterations of it was very beautiful to me.
Yeah, I enjoyed Kira's hair, especially at the end where she had it laid to the side and sometimes it would have a braid and sometimes it wouldn't. It was fun to watch her go through that hair evolution more than any other character, I tell you that, because everyone else's evolution just pales so much to hers. And right. I also think they did some play with her color, because it goes from like this light red to like this dark brownish dark brown. Type color by the end of the series. And that was interesting to see as well, that gradual darkening of Nana's actual hair.
Like, and some people may not agree with me with this, but I personally have always seen like the evolution of Kira Nerys's hair has very much followed T-Boz from TLC's hair. When TLC first came out, T-Boz had the short with the short bleached yellow, and it was a little bit spiky but a little bit curly. And then towards the end, it got a little longer in the front, and then she had the swoop in the side, which was still longer in the front and short in the back. I believe that Kira Nerys and T-Boz's hair journey follows the same trajectory. Don't at me.
It does. And you know, it's interesting because as her hair kind of grows longer, in a way, Kira gains a little bit more patience. She's not as hot-tempered. She's not as quick to anger. So it's like,
I'm talking about the same Kira Nerys that was pregnant, ready to hurt somebody.
Well, that
she's
was
ready to fight
Kira.
Everybody all the time.
That was Kira as a hormonal pregnant woman. We're not surprised by that, okay? We already knew that, you know, that was just her. Yeah, but by the end of it, Kira had an interesting character arc, and her hair to me kind of reflects that, except for when she was pregnant, hormones.
Another interesting hair hide they did was with Guinan. Anybody want to take it? Oh, y'all gonna let me do this one?
I'm gonna let we be quiet. We gonna let you do this one. This one is you.
I feel some type of way. Everybody knows Whoopi has those beautiful, beautiful locks. And for the entire length of TNG, you rarely get to see them. Like, they might peek out at the back a little bit under her large hats, but there are like two episodes when we go into the holodeck where she has them pinned up in this 1940s style, and they got on
not
the stockings.
Not even 40s. It was like, you try more like the 1880s, 1890s.
Oh, no, I think she's talking about the Dixon Hill stuff.
The Dixon Hill stuff.
Dixon Hill stuff? Okay. I thought she was talking Dixon about Hill. The time travel episode that I went back too far. Okay.
It's pinned up with a beautiful hat. Continue. Mm-hmm.
The hat was everything. And then when we get way back to the 1800s, because, of course, Alorians live a very long time, you see her with it pinned back and the colonial feel to it. And I always thought it was a how they played with it. Like, yeah, they're there. You never knew quite how long they were or what color they were, versus you would have someone like Lieutenant Rowe with the headband for two seasons.
Oh, Ensign Rowe.
You know, it's kind of a testament, because that's kind of been the case with Whoopi in general throughout the year. She usually has had the wig for whatever role, and you know, I think the role of Guinan, when she didn't have the hair under those fabulous hats, just beautiful, I think it, you know, was kind of on brand for her in general. That's just my take on it, but I appreciate the hats for
I appreciate the hats
for Guinan. I really do.
Although you didn't get a lot of it, she still had a sensuality to her. She still had, you know, a toughness and a strongness. And when you get that from your image. So why did Data never change his hair?
He was an android. What is he?
He could. Right?
I mean, he really could. But, I mean, I don't know if we got to explore Data and his vanity. Data, as a property of being an android, like, his physical features aren't ever going to change. He's never going to grow. He's not really ever going to get wrinkles. He's not ever going to do facial hair. Like, I don't know if they ever thought to explore, does Data ever want to do anything with his hair?
He did. He tried a beard for a day. For an episode. When I stroke my beard, do I look more I forgot what he said, but he shows it to Troy and Jordy, and it was a cool little moment.
But like, they never took it anywhere beyond that. Like, they could have done so many things. Data could have had a mustache. Data could have had sideburns.
Data did have a mustache in the Western.
In the Western, yes. But as Data, like outside of a holosuite in terms of his hair, just Data being Data, I don't think he really got the chance to explore what he wants to.
He had the white patch in the future. He had the little white patch. Yes. And I'm just like, okay.
Yeah. As long as we're talking TNG, I mean, this is a good time to bring up LeVar. LeVar's hair journey on TNG. Because he started out with the box cut and went away from
the
there.
The box cut. S-curl.
Oh, the S-curl.
That was the S-curl all the way.
How you gotta do him like that?
The hard parted fade.
The Gumby.
Uh-huh. I you know, though, and on TNG they had Mr. Mock, so we have an origin for everybody's look. We had that what race, a Bolian. We had a Bolian barber on the Enterprise who hooked everybody up, and we saw Picard in there. We saw, I think Geordi wasn't in the chair, but Geordi was there. You know,
no,
so
Geordi,
we
ain't letting that bully touch his.
You ain't touching his hair, man.
Geordi created a 20th century barbershop program and got his hair cut there.
I'm telling you, that's the program that evolved, and now it's got the documentaries in it. That's how it goes.
I'm telling you, that's how it works. That's how it goes.
He had Ice Cube. He actually had the barbershop movie turned into a hollow novel.
Yes, and we get his hair cut. Oh, look, hey, it's the blind dude. Yay, what's up, man? How's he going? He didn't go up in there with his visor. He wanted authenticity.
But he had a journey, and then by the time we see him in the last TNG movie, he's got the good Caesar with the salt and pepper in it. His visor is gone. It's a different look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was
an evolution too. It was great. Yeah. And now we see LeVar, and it's like, sir, why didn't you have the facial hair? But my theory to no one else having a beard was Riker's beard was it.
Yeah, Riker. I was just going to bring up Riker's beard and Riker's hair journey overall. It was a mass improvement for that beard. Whew.
Yeah, what was his nickname he said that he had as a young officer? Ensign Babyface?
Yeah.
That's exactly how he looked.
We love you, Jonathan Frakes. This is shade to you, but the facial hair.
At the beginning of TNG, Frakes was very, very young. Very, 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 very baby face Frakes. It's like, I see why the beard had to happen, and I appreciate it. You know, Izzy, who's very young.
Midway through insurrection, and it's like, whoa, sir, who are you?
Yeah, when he takes it off, and he's like smooth as an android's butt or something.
And then Data's like, nah.
Yeah, so I think at the time, Jonathan Frakes was also doing North and South, the miniseries, which I watched thanks to my mother, who recorded it on VHS with no commercials. I don't know how she did it, but she was working hard. But yeah, so in the storyline, like, it matched, like, when he was on TNG and when he was on the North and South, like, he had to grow a beard. He got older, time passed, and it was, like, really immaculate. And just, you know, you could see with him with his fine tooth comb, just, you know, sitting there combing his beard, and he looked so good. And I don't blame Deanna. She, you know, he was looking good.
I don't blame any of the aliens that kind of had a romp with Riker, because he was not a womanizer, but he did for the arts of women.
Oh, he had his pursuits, boy, and he made him count.
Whether or not Riker is a himbo or not is a whole nother episode, I think.
Yeah. Okay, so we start with the original series and hair. I would like to commend William Shatner for for having the Superman curl at all times.
There we go.
There he made it a thing. It's like it was there.
He had the Superman. He could roll across the floor after being fired at, and the Superman curl would not move.
Actually, it would usually add another curl.
Yeah.
It was like, displaced like, a little bit.
We're going to get extra Superman over here. It's like, I just did a grand thing. Now we need two curls.
Exactly.
And now, which, the women's hair looked like, you know what? There's a reason there's a hole in the ozone. It was because we were filming Star Trek, the original series.
Yeah, classic beehive. It was really the classic 60s beehive. We see Uhura with it. We see... Nurse Chapel, I don't think, rocked it, but
has,
then
she rocked it hard.
She had,
oh, she had one, yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Right, she did.
In two
I take
different
it
colors.
Back. My bad. Yeah, she did. She had the beehive, too. And then there was the ensign. She had the beehive. It was...
We also had a little afro. We had
one afro. One
just
afro.
One. Just the one.
Lieutenant Charlene Masters, who was actually, it's quote unquote that she was a lieutenant, but she was a science engineer officer. And yeah, she had a nice little cute little fro.
Little teeny weeny afro was very cute.
I felt played like, by the lady picked general. It out. Like if she picked it out, the shrinkage was real.
Oh, yeah.
Like they can't let her pick it out too much. That made me look her a little bit too militant. So that's why I had to stay tiny.
Had to stay, you know,
wrapped
up. If you watch the original episode, if you watch that original pilot, we see that Spock hair was a little weird, especially in the front. It had some, I don't know, it just wasn't the straight, smooth Vulcan look. And you see pictures of it and all of that, and you're like, what is that? Sir,
yeah, he had some party in the front.
Even it out, yeah.
That's sir, even it out.
Yeah, because that hairline was a mess.
Yes. It got better. Gosh. It got better.
Well, it got Vulcan. And then
yeah,
we see
got
him
Vulcan.
In the motion picture where he goes emo Vulcan, and it's long, and you're like, wait a minute. Okay, long-haired Spock. It was weird.
When we're talking about Vulcan hair, and again, I think what happened with Spock, Leonard Nimoy, is a lot of the same thing that happened with Worf on TNG, where they were trying to figure out what is the quintessential look for this particular species, but also what is the quintessential look for this particular character. And it took them a little bit to get it right. One thing I do really like about Vulcans in general, like if you see a Vulcan or a Romulan for that matter, like you can spot them at a distance. That right there is Vulcan hair. That right there is Romulan hair. And when you see the Navarre, not Vulcans and Romulans, in season 3, I like that when you see them, you see that particular culture, those two cultures have really blended. And the Navarre have taken elements from Vulcan hairstyles and elements from Romulan hairstyles and sort of merged them into one hairstyle. And it's also become a little bit softer. Like you can see the evolution of the species in the hairstyle that we see now that's so different, but also still very much the same and recognizable as being from those cultures.
I like that with the Navarre hairstyles, there was not so much the combination, but there was still some authenticity to where you saw who tracked their lineage back where. Yeah, we're Vulcan, but, you know, this person, we lean toward this side. And I did like that even the black hair came along with that. That was some nice cuts and fades and, you know.
Yes.
Everybody just didn't have that mushroom top feel.
Please watch Unification 3 one more time and look at all the Navarre in the back, because whoever did the styling, Gersha, whoever was with the costumes and the hair in that particular episode, we have a multitude of Navarre of varying skin tones with varying hairstyles, but you can look at each and every one of them and be like, yes, this is a Navarre.
It's funny to me because, you know, in Star Trek, we typically have all these cultures and everything, but there's very little, you know, cultural appropriation when it comes to hairstyle. Like, we don't see, you know, humans with Vulcan haircuts. Because I would think that, in, you know, just based on the way people are today, you would see, like, a lot of people, oh, I'm going to rock a Vulcan cut, or I'm going to go get a Kazon cut, or you got humans running around with, like, Klingon hair or whatever, like, you know, shaving it back in their Klingon hair. So it's funny to me. That's true. He does now. But yeah, I mean, there's very few people who have like the hair of another culture. It's like the line stops at hairstyles.
No one wants Kazon hair.
I was gonna get there, but since we're here now. Let's talk about the Kazon hair. Do we want to do it objectively or from Twitter rants?
It's not hair. That's not hair. That was just a mess on top of their head. I don't know how you can call that hair. I don't know how they were supposed to style it. I don't know if it was even stylable. It was just there. It just was. It was an entity that was lifeless on top of their heads.
Okay.
I have nothing good to say about it.
Grace, why don't you go ahead and tag on that one?
Okay. So, the Kazon not hair, I have problems with. Because I know exactly who the Kazon were being modeled after, and having that particular hair as representative of them was very disrespectful to me as a person of color. And that is one of the reasons why, when the Kazon were first introduced on Voyager, I did not like them. I did not like their portrayal. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who felt that way.
No one liked the Kazon for multitudes of reasons.
It was not good.
As a non-Voyager viewer, who were they supposed to be based on?
Well, if you believe all the things that the internet tells you, it would say writers, I'm not going to name names, that the Kazon and their individual sex were supposed to be representative of gangs in New York, Crips and Bloods.
What?
Yep. Yes.
You didn't what? Know? No clue.
Yeah.
No.
Like, they don't look like man.
Wow.
I'm not gonna say a hot mess
when Kazon is revisited by some of our Twitter, I don't even know what
they, our colleagues,
Twitter changelings, where they say whose hair grows like that. That type of hair doesn't exist.
It doesn't.
Some of my favorites is Kazon's, Klingon's ugly cousins.
Do we want to call them cousins?
I'm just quoting tweets right here.
The Kazon were a hot mess.
They compared the stylings of Bantu knots to Kazon hair.
Yeah.
What travesty is that? Very disrespectful.
No. The portrayal of the Kazons and their hair, I did not like it. I don't think it was done well. I think they could have had the Kazon have an, let's say, exotic hairstyle without resorting to making it look so disheveled, so messy, and I hate to say this, dirty.
And I think a lot of times when those terms get thrown around, disheveled, dirty, messy, people instantly think of natural hair.
There it is. I think having the Kazon on Voyager, especially at the time it was on Voyager, which may or may not very well coincide with the beginnings of what a lot of people refer to as the natural hair movement, set them back. Like, having that portrayal on TV and having people who are just beginning to let go of Eurocentric beauty standards, and then seeing a species like the Kazon on TV on Star Trek, I believe that was a step backwards.
It was a huge step backwards and a bit of a slap in the face to anyone who doesn't uphold Eurocentric beauty, European beauty standards. Absolutely. It was terrible. And there was a reason why once season 3 started, we didn't see them anymore. They were no longer around. They were not a fan favorite. They weren't even a critic favorite. Like, no one liked Kazon, like, at all. No one. They were problematic from beginning to end. Especially wow. with the hair. The hair did them no. It was, yeah. Just a hot mess.
It was a hot mess, and also I think it was missed on some people, because, you know, this was a person who created style that was trying to think outside the box, ideally. And the first box that they get put in is, you know, idiot saying, was Halle Berry's hair inspired by Star Trek when she wore her curly hair, the curly hair wig? So I'm trying to figure out how you get from one to the curly hair, volumized, looks like Kazon hair. Although the species is interesting, I think that is Kazon hair failed, much like Klingon hair fails.
I mean, I understand where they were trying to go with the Kazon hair. I mean, if I were to guess, and I don't have any confirmation of this, I would assume that they were trying to make the Kazon hair much like that of the African, the Himba people, who famously put red clay in their hair to hold it together and style it. But if you look at the hair of those peoples, you can see that even though there is clay mud in it, the hair is still very neatly and intricately styled. And I think that they could have done that on Star Trek to preserve the thing that they were trying to reference, but they just didn't do that. They decided to just make it look terrible for no good reason at all. Like, they could have done it so much better, and they just didn't. And because they did it so poorly, it fell flat, and it just made the Kazon more reviled than they already were.
Well, I didn't watch Voyager. Don't beat me up, y'all. I'll get there eventually. But I'm looking at photos, and I'm just like, what in the world were they thinking? It looks like coral with like fur, and I don't know. It looks a mess. And that backstory, Grace, that you mentioned, is quite problematic, considering. The times that we were in
I would even let that slide, because that you're talking, they were basing it, the Kazon themselves operated in a place without water. So when you have to look at how hair is in desert areas, I can see how you got that picture and was like, okay, we're going to get there. You didn't do any research.
No.
Nope.
That's basically what it was.
I'm just glad that, that wasn't my period of Star Trek, because I think I would have been upset had I watched Voyager on a regular basis and been shocked with that. Because I only watched, I guess, maybe the first half, and then I caught it later on in the show. But, that's disappointing to hear, but not shocking to hear that that particular producer, whose name we won't mention, had a hand in that.
Speaking of Klingon hair, B'Elanna also went through an evolution.
Yes. And while we're talking about Voyager, and we're talking about hair and aliens, and the subject of Klingon hair comes up, and B'Elanna Torres, who went through a transition with her hair, especially when she was split in two.
That season, she had the same problem that Worf had in season 1, okay? Season 1 of Voyager.
Straight look, and then
go ahead, Travis. I know you got something to say.
I do. I wanted to cry when I saw her hair from season 1. I hated it. Go ahead, Travis.
I mean, firstly, the fact that she can be split in two at all makes me angry. That's the thing that always makes me angry about Star Trek in general, when they take people of multi-racial backgrounds and, oh, we're gonna split you into, you know, your human half and your alien half. It's stupid. That's not how people work. You're a person. Yep. And I feel like they never caught that with B'Elanna, especially from her hair standpoint. She either, you know, went too far and was like a total Federation look, or not Federation, a total, like, you know, white human look, or, you know, they made her a crazy Klingon look. They never had like any kind of real balance for her to show, you know, the subtleties of, you know, what a multi-racial, in this case, multi-species person would have, like what their hair would do. They didn't take the time to do the research. It's just frustrating.
They didn't, because we don't even really see any, you know, Latin flair in terms of her look, like, at all. And I'm like, wait a minute. Where is, you know, the not just the human half of her, but the human half of her that is Latina? Mm-hmm. So what were you guys thinking? Oh, wait, you weren't thinking at all. Because you just missed it. That's Raina, go ahead and chime in, because I know you got some.
So they tried to give her this like wavy look.
Mm-hmm.
Short but still wavy, just to like emphasize, you know, like she's got a little mixed ancestry there. But it was very poofy. Looked like they just put a paddle brush to it and said, here you go. And that's bothersome, because, you know, the Latinx community is broad. It's very expansive. A lot of us have African ancestry. Some have more European ancestry, and a combination, and indigenous ancestry. So our hair throughout in our families is different. You know, my dad, for instance, had very thick but soft, I would say 2A, and, you know, his mom, who was darker skinned, had very 4C. That's where I get mine from. So that combination, and like, they seem to not understand that the mixture and the multitudes of hairstyling was available and there, and that it exists.
See, that I think is where we're going to take the conversation full circle, because that's why people get mad at Discovery, because Discovery now doesn't use, you know, white standards of beauty as their baseline. And folks now see that as in your face. You know, Michael has braids. She's discernibly black. That's in your face. You know, Bryce has a good, you know, ethnic. He's got a black beard. He's got a black hair, black hairstyle. It's in your face now. You know, they see that as in your face. Whereas before, everybody was just kind of defaulting back to, you know, we're one species. Yeah. And one species always meant we're, you know, European. We've got a European centric culture. But, you know, we're looking at Discovery now and we see that that's not the case anymore. And that's what drives folks crazy about that show. It's that it's not, you know, it's not Eurocentric anymore. It's now humanity. And we're looking at humanity now in all of its different iterations. And, you know, folks get fired up. They want themselves to be the center. They don't want to be, they don't want to share the spotlight anymore.
Which, you know, I totally agree with that, Travis. And we also get to see Culber, and he rocks his Puerto Rican hairstyle and his, you know, his facial hair and everything like that, because he's got the waves going on. You look at Wilson's hair real good. It's got some texture to it. And the fact that you know, as a man who is, you know, not European descent, he also is another person rocking their ethnicity through their hair. And it's absolutely great to see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Wilson's hair actually reminds me of my dad's hair. So especially when he just got really like salt and pepper, it
takes you there.
That was literally exactly where I was gonna go. I was gonna talk about Wilson's hair, because when we first meet Dr. Culber on Discovery, his hair is very low. He's got a fade, but it's very short and rounded on top. And it's all one color. It's like, I'm not quite sure what the progression of Wilson's actual graying hair is, but I do appreciate that even though he started out with his hair being like all black, all one color, as the seasons have gone on, his hair has come more, there's more gray. We see it coming into the temples. We see his beard is a little salt and pepper. We see more of his waves, more of his texture. And I appreciate that is being able to be displayed, because in the first season, it was all very, very low cut, very straight, very much trying to display as little of his heritage as possible. Although there's one instance, one small instance. Oh, Wilson, I hope they didn't make you wear this thing for so long. When Dr. Culber comes back from being dead and he's trapped in the mycelial network.
Yeah.
And he has not been in contact with actual people for a long time. They have him in this terrible, terrible wig. And I don't know where they picked it up from, because it looks like, you know, somebody found it on the floor underneath the shelf and nobody has picked it up for a while. They just picked it up and put it on his head. It's the most terrible, ugly, just dirty, dusty looking wig. And I'm sorry. I know what Wilson's hair is. And I know that if you left Wilson's hair for an extended period of time, it would not come out looking like this wig that they made this man wear. I am so sorry, Wilson. So very sorry that they made you wear that. Like, his hair would have been tall, and he may not have been able to pick it out, but it would not have been what they put on his head. Absolutely not. No man.
Okay. And with us going through hair, heritage, and aliens, I've always had an issue with the Klingon hair. We're not even going to touch on the issue of the Klingon people all being brown, and there's white people in brown face, and then there's no light Klingons unless they're mixed with something. We're not even going to go there. We're going to talk about the idea that for Star Trek to present an idea of a culture being uncivilized and animalistic, their hair is wild. Even when B'Elanna split herself in two, her Klingon self had this wild hair. So I always had an issue with that. Anybody? Am I alone?
No.
I just think you hit it.
It's really all it is. I think it is playing into that stereotype that if your hair does not lay flat, if it is not completely bone straight, then you are an other. You are uncivilized.
When we look at Osyra, she comes in, that green hair is laid. It's waving, it's bumped at the ends. It gives you a very much a Diva Devantessa feel, that 60s pinup feel. You know, when you see nephew, the haircut is laid, it's straight, it's bumped on the side. He has that Power Man pump.
Yeah, it's the pompadour a little bit.
Yeah, that pompadour.
No, like, and I agree with that. Like, with what you're saying about the Klingons having this wild hair, it's just the way that a lot of people see hair, not necessarily wild, but curly. If your hair is curly, then that's undesirable for whatever reason. If your hair is curly, we need to make it not curly. We need to make it more like what we want to see. That's why, you know, Worf in season one has a little perm. That's why B'Elanna has the same little perm when she first shows up. Like, that's why they scraped poor Mary Wiseman's hair back in the beginning of Discovery. Like, if your hair is curly, if it is not straight, if it is not what we're used to, we need to change that so that people feel more comfortable with you. You cannot be visibly other with this hair that is so distinguishable. And yes, that bothers me. And that's one of those things that people who have transitioned from having relaxed hair to having natural hair have to deal with. People are going to make some assumptions about you, and they are not good assumptions if you present yourself with curly hair. And it's not the fact that you have curly hair. This is just the way the hair grows out of your head. It's not you being aggressive or strange or weird. This is me. This is my hair. This is the way how it grows out of my head. And yet, for some reason, that is perceived poorly.
Well, I think it's not just hair texture. It's also a certain standard that we have in terms of hairstyle, haircut. Because go back to TNG just a little bit, and we see Tasha Yar, she's rocking that short haircut. It was a great haircut. Shout out to Denise Crosby for rocking that style at that period. I mean, that was the late 80s, early 90s, and you didn't see that many women, even on television, rocking a short hairstyle like that. Because let's be honest, when it comes to short hair, that's associated with maleness and masculinity. So for a woman of any ethnicity to have hair above her shoulders that's not pinned up, it's like, what's going on here? Are you trying to be a man? Are you gay? Like, what's going on? And it's like, well, no, women, not all of us want to deal with a whole head full of hair, especially someone like myself. I don't really like to do my hair, especially since it grows in thick. Okay, so to assume that a woman with a certain length of hair is somehow one off is also another problem. So I think that's one of the reasons why I enjoyed seeing Kira so much, because she didn't have that long hair like Troy and Jadzia and the rest of them. Same thing with Esri Dax. She rolled up there and she kind of had her little bob type deal going on.
Yeah, so the standard of hair, the Eurocentric standard of hair, has long plagued our, you know, Black communities and other communities for a very long time. As we know, we had, you know, the straighteners, the hot combs, the creamy crack, Madden CJ Walker products, everything to get our hair as straight as possible, especially for the workplace. And I noticed it when I decided to transition, that started wearing my hair natural, that people look at you different. They're like, "Ooh, she looks." The word exotic drives me absolutely nuts.
Oh God.
Okay. Oh, is that your hair? I didn't know your hair could do that. And it's just like, where have you been? Like, why are you in this bubble? Like, all right, let me get you out of this bubble. Our hair grows like everyone else. Okay. You know, we see young white women with their messy buns, yet Black women who wear the same or beautiful locks or beautiful braids or whatever your hairstyle is, like, ooh, she must be from, you know, such and such area, and she's got this attitude. And, you know, the perception once someone looks at your hair it's damaging to someone's self, actually. It's really something that you have to grapple with, and I know I've had to. But, you know, I really do love this age of natural. And I hope that more people become knowledgeable about different hairstyles from all over the world. Because guess what? You got your influences from those people. And, you know, it's important to respect those different cultures. And, of course, we don't want to appropriate anyone's culture. But, you know, ask questions and be, you know, read and, you know, listen to people about their journeys, especially with hair, because that's one thing that's been a troublesome marker for me, at least, or our community.
I was just going to talk about Michael's journey, you know, referring to what Raina was saying about how, you know, in that not first season, but the first couple of episodes, she's just coming off of being, you know, the well-respected first officer, and she's got her hair straight and flat. And then, you know, we talked about this a little bit earlier about how, you know, then she's got that prison look where it's natural, you know, and now that, you know, she's going to be the captain in this new world. She gets to be who she is. And I think I'm understanding more and more what they're doing with this new Star Trek. The characters are going to get to be who they are, because the show is going to get to be what it is outside of the, you know, the canon and the expectations of everybody else, the individual characters. So, you know, Tilly gets to have her hair big, bushy, and curly, and there's no question that she's got to push it back into that slick back look she had in season one. She gets to be who she is. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, Wilson's hair and Culber. He gets to have his hair, you know, that reflects himself. And, you know, I think, you know, what we're seeing with Star Trek now is that, you know, everybody's getting to be who they are as individuals, as opposed to what the prevalent cultural expectation is. And I like that.
I agree. I think hair as a culture, it has been, especially if you are of the variety that they say you have, that tough hair, that kinky hair, that bad hair, you know, those terms, it's rough. You know, you try to find a style that fits you, you perm your hair out. I have regrew several heads of hair because I've permed it out, I've braided it away, and now everybody's just trying to keep their edges. It's tough. And hair is how you view yourself. And watching a show that has so much diversity on the cast and then seeing it on their heads, it's good. It makes me feel good. It makes me feel like there's a place for me in this future. There's a place for my kids in this future.
I'm going to say this. We know that Whoopi is going to return as Guinan for Picard season two. If she don't show up with her locks, I'm riot. Y'all will see a tweet storm from me with all kinds of expletives, personal account, of course, because I refuse, as someone who's in, because I rocked locks for 13 years, okay? They were down to the middle of my back. So I know the amount of work it takes. All I'm saying is, Whoopi, please let them let you keep your hair.
Show them. Please make them a doable color. I will bleach all my hair out trying to get those platinum locks. Don't do that to me.
They have
the hair wax now, so you can get the right color.
Ooh. And but her hair naturally is salt and pepper.
Yes.
Right? Yes, it's so very salt and pepper up, now.
Yeah, so because when we see her, she just did the stand. We all know that's weak, right?
Yeah.
So if she rolls up with salt and pepper locks, which once I advance, I'm thinking, you know, give myself a few years, I might go ahead and be like, salt and pepper locks. Yeah, let's get them locks back, Dre. But if she rolls up with them salt and pepper locks,
I'm ready.
Guess who's gonna be happy? Guess who is? I don't even know how to do a backflip, but I would figure out how to do a backflip because that would be awesome.
I want to see these outfits. My future cosplays. I just need it. So have we done an episode?
Have we?
All right. Who's doing shout outs?
For once, I don't have a shout out.
Ray, because she ain't said but 7 words this whole episode.
That's a lie and a half. All right, so since I didn't talk apparently enough, Brandon Schultz, writer and co-writer of Star Trek Disco. Julie Teat, thank you so much for your support. We appreciate you tuning in and following us along this journey. Kobayashi Saru, also known as at Three Ill Suite, Maxwell Mercy at Maxwell Mercy, Piccardilly at Art with Amira, and Found TNG Episodes at Found Episodes. Thank you so much for your love, your support, and we look forward to giving you some more content soon.
And I have a shout out for at Real Susie P, who did this phenomenal profile picture that I'm using. She did some art commission work for me. So anyone wants some commissions? It's
very nice.
Yeah, it is, you guys. If you go to my personal account at Draytopia, you'll see my new profile picture. And shout out to Susie for that. I believe her commissions are open. So shout out to her.
She's support good. Your local artists.
So thank you for hanging out with the Black Alert Pod. Until next time, keep on trekking. Just keep trekking. Just keep trekking. Just keep trekking.
Done. Trekking, trekking. Okay.
Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious. All right. We're good.